This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
And I'm delighted to welcome our next guest onto the show, Jackie Denyer from Professional Training Solutions. Hi, Jackie.
It's
lovely. Lovely to have you on the show. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about you and how you came to be doing what you are doing today?
I'm the MD of a local training company, Professional Training Solutions. We set up in 2006, so nearly 12 years ago this year. I used to work in the public sector on the other side, really, and we decided that we'd seen so much bad quality in terms of training and apprenticeships that there's definitely a niche in the market for us. And myself and a colleague worked from our bedrooms for the first 2 years. And we were born, really, and we have gone year on year from success to success. So it's been a hard journey, I'd say. Running your own business is never, ever easy.
No, I can imagine. And have you enjoyed it, though? Have you had time to enjoy what you're doing?
I love my job. I love what I do. I know that what we do makes a difference, mm-hmm. and that is really key to what I do.
Anne's going to ask you a question.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so it was a colleague, female colleague, I think, wasn't
yep.
it? And now you've got a team of...
I've got a team of 16 that works from our Farnham office and a freelance capacity of about 30 people that works around mainly Surrey and London area, although we are now working with a couple of national clients, so expanding all the time.
Great. And all of those people, are they largely involved in putting the training courses together?
Well, it's government funded, so it's the back office stuff that does take as much time as the actual delivery. Unfortunately, bureaucracy is still there, live and kicking is what I'd say. Mm-hmm. But the focus of our business is the quality of what we deliver.
Right. Okay. And so you say it's government funded. When you and your colleague sort of left public sector to do your own thing, yep. did you know that you'd be able to sort of work on that basis with, you know, government funding? Or
yeah, so we started off when Labour was in government, and that was a time when funding was no object, free training was freely available, and so we've gone through quite a lot of transition from the Labour government to the Conservative government, and things have changed. The last year has been a pretty tough one. The whole apprenticeship agenda's changed, a lot more focus on larger employers with their levy payment, which is a new tax that came out last year. And that's been massive, and that's had quite a bit of impact. People like the NHS now have tax bills of an additional £1 million, so and they can use it, but only on apprenticeship training. So there's a lot of work that's been going on around those areas.
And how has that sort of affected, you know, morale in the office?
Well, we have been awarded our first NHS contract as of last month, so we're really excited about that. We're going to be working with the Royal Surrey Hospital to deliver training for their staff. We've been doing a lot around employability and helping people who are unemployed and further from the job market. And we've had some real success, particularly with the Royal Surrey, with 13 out of 14 people who attended one of our courses being offered jobs. So it's about really making a difference, and a lot of them are actually women returners who have struggled to get back into the workplace, or they've decided to take a career change, and a lot of them do actually go into a caring environment, and because it fits around their own caring, childcare needs. So the last year's been tough, but amazing.
All the more rewarding if it's if it's more of an uphill struggle, I suppose.
Yeah, it's an uphill struggle. We've had so many changes to deal with, and how government deals with them with apprenticeships and training of the unemployed, and particularly around in Surrey, where there's a lot more economically inactive people that actually do want to get out of work, but they're not classed as unemployed. So that's a massive audience. The unemployed is actually falling, and those that are able to work are probably quite the furthest from the job market. So there's a lot more work that we have to do on even more limited funding. But we're doing it, and it is a success.
Good for you.
What about the age range? Is it quite a vast age range? So you've got the young... Yeah. Because yeah. I actually thought it would have been healthier for apprenticeships at the moment because of the way the university situation is changing. Is that not...
Yeah, so there's such a big change. So we've had for apprentices from age 16 to 69, and they are aimed to upskill both existing workforce, so to change the knowledge and skills and behaviours of staff that need to that for their job and to continue in their job. And for the 16-year-olds coming back into the workplace, apprenticeships are a real option for them now. Mm. It means that they can be in the same place or even further, you know, higher up in the workplace than when their colleagues come back or their peers come back from university.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been the introduction of the degree apprenticeships, and that is going to make a real difference. So on the horizon are nursing apprenticeships, police apprenticeships. So it is a real alternative to going to university and racking up the bill.
Yeah, great. And this is from 16 or 18?
16. So all young people aged between 16 and 18 have to be in education and training, and that's usually an apprenticeship or they're in sixth form.
I think apprenticeships are great. I think they're fantastic. I think we need them, don't we?
Yeah, we do need them, and I think there's too much of a pressure on youngsters to go to university because it's the done thing, and it's not for everybody. And you know, we are ignoring all of those roles where we need those people in those jobs that you don't necessarily need to go to university to.
And they are amazing. That's all I can say. We have two in our workplace, about 16, two of our staff, and a third one who graduated this year and is now a permanent member of our staff. And, you know, they bring such life, such enthusiasm to the workplace. It's changed the environment. They have long-term careers with us. So, and I'd encourage any employer to really consider it. It doesn't work for everyone, but if it does, it's a great, you know, you have your workforce of the future, which is so important.
That's music to my ears, having, you know, 20 and 18-year-old.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely, totally support apprenticeships. I think we should be, as you said, Anne, supporting them more.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite an interesting one, isn't it? Should they go to university, shouldn't they? I mean, I'm finding at the moment I've got a 20-year-old son at uni, and he's trying to find a place for his placement year.
Yeah.
And all these universities are offering these courses on the basis that there's a placement available in the placement year. There are so few. I mean, do you get involved in any of those sorts of...
So we're just starting to work with University of Surrey for our management qualifications. So we want to offer people in the workplace real opportunities to progress. So we are offering a level 5 leadership and management apprenticeship, and we are talking to them now about how they can go on to level 6 and 7. The beauty of a degree apprenticeship is that you won't have the bill.
Yeah.
It is being 90% of it is being footed by government.
Mm.
So actually, why would you do a master's that's costing you $27,000 when actually you can do a master's as an apprenticeship?
Yeah. Mm.
So I would encourage everyone to look at that. I think it's the future.
Mm. I agree.
I mean, the only thing I would say about university is it's the experience, isn't it? You know, 3 years away from home, you know, there's a lot of growing up that goes on in those years. I mean, but yeah, weighing it up with the bill.
I'd say a lot of growing up goes when you have to work 9 to 5. And actually, you know, that's schools don't necessarily equip our young people for that work ethic. I think there's a lot to be said about that. And I think we're turning the real people into men and women of our future. I have a son at university. He has 8 contact hours a week for £9,000 a year. And, you know, there's something to be said. Is that preparing our young people for the workforce of the future?
I suppose, in a way, it depends what you're doing as an apprentice and what you're doing for a degree.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, there are lots of jobs that you can't possibly get without certain degrees. So I think, in that sense, university is essential, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I think, as you say,
I think if you're going to be all up, a surgeon, if you're going to be in the medical profession, or you're going to be a lawyer even, but now there's going to be an apprenticeship lawyer.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've already started. KPMG, I think, are another organisation that are starting an apprenticeship accountancy. So there are alternative routes where your end objective of achieving that qualification is the same.
Yeah, well, that's great. Mm. So just sort of parking that for a moment, because I know you're here. One of the reasons you're here, you want to talk about you've got an event coming up, haven't you? I don't want to sort of get to the end before we talk about that. So tell us about your Women Leaders Academy launch.
So as part of our apprenticeship program, we have been working for the last year on a program aimed at women that will give them the qualifications and knowledge, skills and behaviours that leaders and managers need for the future. There is a massive gender imbalance. Only 32% of women are directors, and even in female biased organisations, there is still a gender pay gap because the top tier are still male managers. So we have decided, and we've been mapping this for the last 6 months, to offer a women leaders programme. It's going to be a 2-year programme. People will be able to go on masterclasses. They'll have a coach. At the end, they will achieve a Chartered Management Institute qualification. And all that's starting off and kicking off with a launch on the 11th of June, 6 p.m. at Fox Hills. And delighted to say that Fox Hills have been a great supporter of our event, as have Surrey Chambers of Commerce and their Women in Business program and the Women's Charter. And we're hoping to get about 100 women to the event and some of the amazing speakers. So Jenny Campbell of, well, Dragon. A dragon of Dragon's Den is coming to do the keynote speech. We've got a mumpreneur, Leanne Davis from Run Mummy Run. We've got the chief exec of Ashford and St. Peter's coming to do her talk, Suzanne. And we have got, and I'm really pleased, and this is through one of my apprentices making a contact, Claire Vivian from Dell, and she's the UK Vice President for Dell EMC. So a breadth of experiences. Some of them have so broken the glass ceiling, and I just feel so passionate about having this program and being around these women, and this program is something that I've wanted to go on.
So, I would too.
Yeah, it sounds great.
I am the accidental manager and leader, and I never thought I would be in this position. And I think most women are. It doesn't matter if you're a scientist or whoever you are. You may be good at your job or your vocation, but no one teaches you to be that leader or that manager. And this program is for you. This is going to take you to that next level.
I was going to say, who's eligible for this?
So anyone, come along anyway to the event. It's a great event. Come and hear these inspirational women speak. To be eligible, you just need to be employed. You need to be a resident of the UK because it's government funding. So government will fund 90% of this 2-year programme of the Academy.
90%?
90%. It's just an amazing opportunity. There will be masterclasses. There will be coaching, mentoring, keynote speakers. So, but I think the most important part of that is people will have the opportunity to work with peers. They'll get that advice and support, and I think it's something women in particular are really good at.
Fantastic.
I think this sounds great.
Yeah.
And how can we go along? Do we have to book a ticket?
Book online. So we are charging a booking fee, but I am delighted that Catalyst, which is a local charity that deals with mental health, and I'm talking to one other charity, are going to receive some of the proceeds of that registration fee. Mm-hmm. So I really want to make it, you know, it's about making it a really great event for women.
And accessible.
accessible,
yeah,
and the programme accessible. This is the only time I think people are going to get government funding for such a programme.
It's the year of the woman, isn't it? Because we had the suffragettes.
Was it St. Genevieve?
That's gone.
It was.
What a year for the woman.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's a big year. So all I'd say is to fellow business leaders is grab it with both hands.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look that one up. So unfortunately we're coming to the end now. If anyone wants to sign up for that or have a look at anything that you do, what could you just let us know your website?
Yes, so come along to our website. There's a booking form on there. Check out the apprenticeships as well. So it's www.protrain-solutions.co.uk.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Jackie, for coming on the show and telling us all about that. We'd love to have you go on again in the future to hear how it's going, actually, because it sounds like a really great initiative. So that was Jackie Denyer of ProTrain Solutions.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.